God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Borders, lines of separation, fences, and signs. We need borders, and God has given borders. Pastor Larry here. Greetings to all of our listeners. God has given us borders, activities, places, people, and practices that are off limits to His people. Good and bad, right and wrong. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, declared that soaring migration levels at the southern border are bad for the U.S. and even worse for Latin America. It extracts the people vital to building the solid financial conditions that would keep them in their home country. Having an open border is not an act of kindness. The Biden administration has caused a surge of migrants across the border, and it started on the first day of the Biden presidency. Biden announced a 100-day pause in deportations. That sent a signal to people in Mexico, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala. It was understood to mean, you have 100 days to make it to the United States, and if you make it in, you get to stay. Open borders help no one, neither U.S. citizens nor migrants. Now, this is not politics, it's a human quality of life issue for both U.S. citizens and migrants. It is also demoralizing to law enforcement agencies. They are now unable to remove more than 80% of the aliens who would have been removed from the country under Trump administration protocols. Is this all accidental and unintended? Or is it part of a larger plan? If you want to have an in-your-face understanding of what is happening in the world today and how it fits perfectly into the biblical prophetic scenario, I've got the book just for you. It's titled, The Summoning, Preparing for the Coming Days of Noah, and it is by our dear friend, Carl Gallups. You'll find answers to many questions that you may have about today and tomorrow, and you will probably discover good questions you never even thought of asking, and I think when that happens, you're really being blessed. Carl Gallups is on the phone with me. Carl, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, Brother Larry, my thanks to you. It's my honor. Thanks.
Well, you are one of our popular guests, and with good reason, and I know you and your books and messages have made an indelible impression on the hearts of many of our listeners. So we are, I know, in for a big treat. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. You're very kind to say that, brother. It's my honor, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Carl, you say we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. You've repeatedly said this for the last decades in your books, from pulpits and conferences and on interviews. What do you mean by that, and how can that be?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. Listen, I could speak about this for hours. Let me give my quickest answer possible. I tell people there are really three huge booms, B-O-O-M-S, booms, explosions of prophecy that the Bible deals with. Now, there's a lot of prophecy in the Scriptures, of course, but the first boom, of course, was the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the first coming, the crucifixion, the resurrection. All of that was foretold, as we know. We've preached many, many sermons on it. We've gone through the Scriptures. You can find all of the Scriptures that lay out the first coming of Jesus Christ. Boom, that was it. That's what changed the world. The church is born. The gospel explodes. All right, but the second boom that was prophesied to come after the coming of Jesus Christ was the return of Israel. All through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, Jesus even speaks of it. I write about that in The Summoning. But that has happened in our historical lifetime, Larry. Okay?
Yes,
the
yes.
Second boom of prophecy. We're 73 years the other side of it. Now, I'm not 73 years old, but it's been in my lifetime. All my life, Israel has been in the Middle East as a returned nation, as a 2,800-year-old fulfilled prophecy. So you and I are living in that time of that second boom. Now, in the meantime, the Bible speaks of technological advances. In the Old Testament, it speaks of it. In the New Testament, and it may not use those terms, but you read about the whole world seeing something at once, the whole world taking a mark, the whole world doing this, the whole world worshiping this system and this person. People running to and fro over the face of the earth, knowledge increasing, and in that Hebrew word in the book of Daniel, I've written on that before. It means exponential growth of knowledge. Well, we're the first generation to see all of those things, all of those technologies, and so much more, a worldwide marking system, etc. And to have big global industries and global organizations actually bragging and boasting about doing those things, marking and tracking all the people in the world now for the first time. So when you think about the fact, I say when people say, well, how do we know we're living in the most prophetic times? I say the word IT says it all, IT. It's an acronym, I, Israel, T, technology. We're the first generation since the first coming of Jesus Christ to see the return of Israel, a huge, huge prophetic signal that we're in the last days. God says, when I do this, it'll be my sign to the nations that I am God. And the implication is, especially like Ezekiel 37, that this is a last day's fulfillment. Then Ezekiel 38 speaks of the nations of the world, a conglomeration of nations, which are all Muslim nations and or very, very closely connected to the Muslim nations, will begin to form coalitions to come against a returned Israel. It's all there. So here we are, you and me, all of our listeners, we are now living on the other side of this huge boom explosion of technology. The whole world is communicating and passing information back and forth instantaneously, 24/7, in real time, first time in history, first time in humanity's existence that that has ever been able to happen, and we're doing it right in the middle of a return to Israel. Right. So when I say we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ, that's what I mean. First boom, the first coming. Second boom, the return of Israel. The third boom, the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we're living between the second and the third boom. We're right here, and we're moving closely towards the Antichrist system.
Well, it's interesting that you would mention that. I've noticed that even if you were to ask the man on the street or the woman on the street who might not even be a Christian or who might not have even read the Bible, you know, when they think of what's going on today, some of them will say, well, doesn't the Bible speak about this in the last days? And it's interesting that they can sense that there is something afoot. And I think that's very, very significant, and you're right on. But you were asked to give a prophecy concerning what the Trump administration would look like just a week or so after he won the election.
Yeah.
It was on an internationally broadcast TV program.
Yes.
What you said was rather stunning and not so popular, but did in fact come to pass exactly, and we are watching that prophecy unfold right now.
Yes.
Carl, explain that for us.
I will, and it's still stunning and surreal to me. I have never, ever, ever claimed to be, quote, a prophet. Now, I know that that is a spiritual gift that's real, and so I'm not disparaging that. It's just I've never really felt the unction to say, listen, I'm a prophet, thus saith the Lord, here is what's going to happen in the future. But I do know that God has used me in my 35, 40-year ministry very prophetically. Four or five times that I've just been preaching and teaching through the Word, and just the unction of God came over me as to kind of where we're going. And again, I didn't say, I've got a prophecy for you. I just said, look, I feel in my soul that here's what's going to happen. And so this is what happened. I was on television. It's an internationally broadcast Christian television show, millions of viewers. And the host just turned to me in the middle of the program. It was right after Trump won. And it may have been days after, maybe weeks. It wasn't long. There was a huge studio audience, as well as, of course, the live TV audience. And he just turned to me and he said, do you have a word of prophecy for us concerning the Trump administration? And of course, they were all excited, you know, and I was too, because I mean, the alternative I thought was pretty bad. And so, you know, everybody was pumped, but you could kind of get the sense that they were kind of hoping it was going to be a return to happy days and Andy of Mayberry and Father Knows Best. And I just said, look, the Lord has given me two words. And by word, I mean, you know, words of wisdom or knowledge, I guess. And I said, number one, revealing. He's going to use this man to reveal the depths of evil like we have never seen before, not only in our nation, but around the world. And it's going to expose things that we have always thought or imagined, but we could never put our finger on. It's going to expose things we never even knew. And I said, God's going to use him. I said, this man should not even be in office, humanly speaking. He should not. He's never even served on a PTA. I mean, you know, right. He's never run for anything. And he becomes the most powerful man in the world. And he walks through the Clinton machine, the Bush machine, the Obama machine, the deep state, the Washington elite, the Washington establishment, the media. Everybody came against him, and he won. And I said, God's doing something here. He's going to use this man, his boldness, his brashness, his rough around the edges personality. He's going to expose. He's going to pull the curtain back like Toto on The Wizard of Oz. He's going to pull the curtain back and show us what's happening. Okay. I could see people were stunned. Yeah, I could tell that a lot of people didn't want to hear that. They were hoping, you know, happy days are here again. And then I said, the second word is this. All hell is going to come against this man because of it. You're going to see the depths of evil in our own nation like you've never seen come against him. Plus, all over the world. But I said, we're moving towards the last days. Now, Larry, I don't set dates. You know that. I know where we are. We're 73 years, as we're talking right now, the other side of the return of Israel. All of these different prophetic signs. We're the first generation to see the convergence of about a dozen of them, and we're living in the middle of it. So how can we not be close, whatever that word means? How can we not be? So I said, you're going to see this demonic outpouring because of this man's presence in the seat of the most powerful position in the world. Well, brother, both things happened.
Yes.
God used him to expose the depths of the wickedness of our own election system and our own Congress and our own Department of Justice and our own FBI and our own FISA courts and on and on and on. And then came the Mueller report, and then came the fake impeachment, and then came BLM and Antifa and burning the cities and capturing towns, and then came COVID. And I mean, it just was a flood. And then came, in my opinion, you may or may not agree, but I think a completely manipulated election, weaponizing the COVID crisis.
Yes.
And then came that horrible travesty. And we saw that. We're living it, still living it. Now, within days of the new administration, all of the executive orders and the new laws that are just taking us right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, of course, all hell coming against him continually. And so, anyway, I spoke all of that in the year 2016.
Wow.
Right after he 2016, right after he won the election. I don't know. It wasn't very popular, and I hate that I had to be the one to speak it, but but both of those things have happened. And so I just, listen, we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus. That's all I'm saying. And God's people had better wake up to that fact, and we need to start living and ministering and witnessing accordingly.
Well, it's kind of like you're walking in the woods and you see a big bee's nest hanging. It looks kind of tame. It's, I guess, a grayish color.
Even beautiful.
Even beautiful, right. Yeah. And then somebody says, let me hit that with a stick.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what Donald Trump did. There was a revealing. There was an exposure of evil. Like you said, all hell broke loose. Now, that brings me to the next question. I think there's something really bad afoot when the government says, close church, you can't worship. So what do you think about forced vaccinations and vaccines in general?
Yeah. The idea of forced vaccinations unnerves me like it does almost everybody.
I know.
I'm not saying a vaccination is the mark of the beast, but that's like forcing people to take a mark, forcing people to do something with their own body. Now, I do expose this in my book, The Summoning. Alan Dershowitz, one of the most famous attorneys on the planet, he first broached the topic, and it was too surreal for me to believe. I thought he was just speaking out of his back pocket. I researched it, and he was absolutely right. Our Supreme Court has ruled several times in the past, and I don't really know what the foundation of the cases were, but there are rulings wherein the United States Supreme Court has ruled that in the case of a national emergency such as a pandemic, that the government can force you to take certain medications or vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. And Dershowitz said they can literally hold you down and handcuff you and put the needle in your arm. And according to what I discovered in my research of the legal material, he's right. And it's never been used, to my knowledge, not in that fashion. But our own Supreme Court has ruled on it several times. And you know, you got people like Barack Obama who touted the whole time he was in office that he was a constitutional attorney now, you know, out of Harvard. Well, you see, I didn't know that existed. But of course, I've been in law enforcement for years and years, but I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one on TV, and I'm certainly not a constitutional attorney. So when I found that, I was blown away. I said, I can't imagine the government coming to my home and making us stick needles in our arms under the guise of there's a pandemic out here. But they can. And to me, all of this is a precursor, at least, to this whole Antichrist system. It says he forced the people to take a mark. They were forced to take a mark, and you couldn't buy or sell or eat without it. Now we've got politicians, just the other day, I can't remember the guy's name, but I was quoting this in Sunday night Bible study. In fact, I read the article to people off my cell phone, where this politician and attorney and expert on all of this said, look, it's coming. I mean, you are going to have this vaccine, or you cannot go to the grocery store. You cannot go here. You cannot go. You cannot travel. You cannot get on an airplane at all. We might even have it such that you can't go to church unless you're scanned at the door. Now, brother, they're talking boldly about this, particularly under this current administration. So I think this is all very prophetic. I think it's at least, even if none of this were to come to fruition, the very fact we have the technology, number one, and number two, that they're bragging about using it this way,
right,
says an awful lot about where we are.
I can just imagine a plane flying overhead, and there's a big picture of Donald Trump, and he says, miss me now?
Yeah.
So that's exactly where we are. Well, Carl, thank you so much. And friends, we're going to have Carl Gallups back with us for our next program. Be sure to tune in. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get the summoning.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is a great one. All the things that were discussed today are in this book, plus a whole lot more. You can have a copy of The Summoning for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And this new book, as well as all of our materials, are available on our website at swrc.com. We also have the excellent book by Derek Gilbert titled Giants, Gods, and Dragons, yours for a gift of $20. And we have the best-selling book by Tom Horn titled The Messenger, yours also for a gift of $20. Better yet, get all three books, The Summoning, Giants, Gods, and Dragons, and The Messenger for a special gift amount of $45. This is a $60 value for $45. The phone number once again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
While many freedom-loving Americans worry about encroaching censorship, those responsible for it have managed to magnify its effects by creating a climate of self-censorship. Due to the psychological mechanism of self-censorship, a single account blocked, a single video deleted, or a book banned can result in a stifling and deadly chilling of speech.
Peter Saab, in an Epoch Times report, writes, quote, "The principle of self-censorship is that people, just to be on the safe side, refrain from saying things that aren't outright banned by some applicable rules," close quotes. An example is the effect of the Johnson Amendment, a law that prohibits tax-exempt nonprofits like churches and religious organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. Even though the law doesn't prohibit discussion of political topics and stands virtually unenforced, free speech backers have long argued that pastors have avoided any political topics in their sermons just to be sure they can't be accused of running afoul of the law.
The Chinese Communist Party, the world's most notorious censor of free speech, deliberately makes its policies vague. During its political campaigns, it issues a campaign against counter-revolutionaries. But you are never told what specifically is a description of a counter-revolutionary. So people are left up to themselves to figure out what is a counter-revolutionary. Just to be on the safe side, they say nothing about the government. nothing that could be construed of disapproving of the Communist Party. Gee, it looks like everybody is happy. No one has any complaints. Well, not really. They are just being careful.
Amazon recently updated its policies to ban books that contain, quote, hate speech, close quotes. No one knows exactly what is hate speech. Since Amazon controls more than 80% of the book retail market, publishers are left to guess whether one of their books may get the hate speech label and thus be less profitable to publish because Amazon considers it hate speech and won't handle it. The Chinese Communist Party is notorious for changing its rules and writing new exceptions and words of clarification to rules. You could suddenly find that, though you were a friend of the party last week, now you are an enemy of the party. Hence came the saying, party policy is like the moon. It changes every 15 days. People have found themselves in a position of constantly trying to figure out how to be in alignment with what the party is currently saying, and even anticipating what the party might say next, and preemptively avoid saying anything that might be deemed problematic in the future.
Big tech censorship is all part of the plan to stifle American free speech rights. It is all part of the plan to close our churches, disarm our citizens, and turn America into a third-rate nation of timid people who are afraid to say anything. Pretty soon it will be illegal to say God bless you when someone sneezes. Unfortunately, too many Americans, even church people, are sound asleep. Just give them their salaries and pension checks, and they will go along with whatever Big Brother decides. One day, he will decide to delete us all. Many Americans feel that their mental health is worse than it has been at any point in the last two decades, according to a recent Gallup survey. Nearly 10% of youth in the United States have severe major depression, and 1 in 4 older adults report having anxiety and depression issues. Research also shows that people in the U.S. are experiencing greater mental health challenges from the pandemic than other nations. Why is this, and what can we do about it?
Margie McCombs, who has served doing trauma healing work overseas with the American Bible Society's Trauma Healing Institute, wrote an op-ed piece in which she says that she has learned a great deal from children and families in other countries who face extremely difficult circumstances. Many of them experience ongoing trauma and loss, yet they are still able to experience emotional healing and equilibrium.
McCombs believes that, first of all, people need to be content. In the West, we are easily consumed with our comforts and wealth. This period of prolonged physical and economic suffering has come as a shock, and it's an opportunity to learn how to stay focused on God in all circumstances. McComb visited in southern Swaziland and saw kids creating toys out of whatever they could find, like making real working toy cars out of soda can tins, or a running toy with an old wheel rim and a stick. These little ones did not expect the newest, shiniest toys, so they didn't look to possessions to find joy.
Secondly, McComb says we need to practice generosity. When she was in Egypt, a group of kids started following her group, curious about what we were doing. Someone in the group found a new pack of gum in his pocket and gave it to one of the little boys, who immediately began to split each piece into smaller pieces and give them away. This is seen in kids who have limited resources. They instinctively share among each other. As we grow into adults, especially in our individualistic, I earn this or I deserve this American culture, we often have to remind ourselves to practice generosity. She says we need to remember that generosity isn't confined to material things. Quote, I have been honored by gracious, generous people in humble refugee camp tents who have shared a simple cup of tea with a generosity that only comes from the heart. A generous spirit also appears in non-tangible ways like listening to one another, extending hospitality to all, and taking time to simply be together.
Thirdly, McComb says we need to live in the now. In places like refugee camps, where some level of trauma is ongoing and relentless, people learn to live for today in order to survive. It's good to talk about the hurtful things that have happened to us, and it's good to talk about our anxieties and fears with people we trust. But it is not healthy to dwell on those memories and worries all the time.
Emotional resilience lies in finding gratitude and contentment, practicing generosity, living in the present, working together, and staying connected. If we can take one step toward each of these goals every day, we can relieve some of the stress, sadness, and worry that is burdening us.
Psalm 22, verse 3, tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. We have so much to be thankful for. It has been a very challenging winter, but God has been faithful. Here now is Mimi Davis with her praise report.
We at Southwest Radio Church have so many things to be thankful for. This week, I am thankful for our new email delivery system. At Southwest Radio Church, we do not just want hearers of the Word, we want to produce doers of the Word. We do not want people to just listen to us on the radio. We want you to feel that you are part of our family. This email system will allow us to deliver our monthly newsletters with the touch of a button. The Prophetic Observer will be delivered right to your email address. This will be a blessing to us and to you. We will not have to pay postage to send out thousands of these monthly publications. You will be able to get these newsletters in seconds instead of days. You will be getting these newsletters digitally, so you can now forward these great insights to friends and family. It will allow us to let you know the latest happenings at Southwest Radio Church, like our conferences, virtual conferences, tours, special events, special guests, and special holiday offers. We understand that people get tons of emails, and it can be a little annoying sometimes. Our promise to you is that you will receive one email a month unless we send you a notice of something important happening at Southwest Radio Church. If you would like to sign up for our free, yes, free, monthly Prophetic Observer, just go to swrc.com and register your email address. That's all you have to do. I'm Mimi Davis, and this has been your weekly praise report.
Jesus said the last days would be just like the days of Noah and Lot. Are we really on the brink of global turmoil? To help put things in focus, we invite you to call and order our special offer at 1-800-652-1144. If you need prayer or if you have a Bible question, we suggest you mail those to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And we invite you to visit us online on our website at swrc.com or on our Facebook page. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Carl Gallups continue this series on Southwest Radio Church.